All right. It's Rolling Around the Barrel. Wrestling? WrestleMania 40 preview show, part two. Part two. If you're listening to this and you're like, this is part two, I didn't even know there was a part one. Stop now. Go back. We already covered all of Saturday, the first night of WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia, and we are about to cover night two. Joined by my compadre, Mike Marbles-Feeney. Mike, how'd you
do? Hey there, how's it going?
How did roller hockey go last night?
Oh, it went well. Went well per usual.
Oh, like you don't have a bad night. Jesus
Christ. Depends on the team in front of me normally.
We got a couple of housekeeping things, Mike, to deal with before we get into the Sunday card.
Yeah.
The first thing is if you listen to part one, we were spitballing. I was really throwing some ridiculous possibilities out there. Mike was spitballing with what I thought was kind of ridiculous ideas. And we were bringing up a lot of names. And then as soon as we stopped recording, a name came up that we didn't even mention or think about, and that name is Brock Lesnar. And so in regards to the Roman Reigns and The Rock versus Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes match, what are your thoughts on Brock Lesnar possibly showing up?
I could see that being a realistic possibility. You know, you look at what, like, Lesnar's, one of his most recent things he did was his story with Cody Rhodes. And they kind of had that final match, and at the end of it, Brock Lesnar extended his hand, and it was a really kind of interesting moment to see from somebody like Brock Lesnar and that type of character. So there's an alliance there of sorts between Cody and Brock. And, I mean, The Rock's been around the WWE long enough to pretty much have a story with just about anybody. So I think it's very realistic that Brock Lesnar shows up at some point during this weekend in regards to the Bloodline story.
Yeah, it has been rumored to the point where it's almost confirmed that he's going to be there. In what capacity, unknown. So we will see. It's just interesting, of all the silly names I came up with, Brock Lesnar never came up. So you win some, you lose some. Hey, don't forget to go back and listen to part one also of our wrestling theme bracket that we're going to be finishing up. We don't know when we get to it, but you're going to want to have part one in the bag before we get to part two and I eliminate something else ridiculous, or I should say ridiculously. Not something ridiculous. But yeah, controversy in the first one. Mike, I also wanted to go over this with you. Friday night on SmackDown, they're going to have the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Okay.
So Battle Royals suck. Question number one. You being an independent wrestler on the scene, have you been in a Battle Royal?
Oh, I've been in so many battle royals.
And they suck, right?
For the most part, yeah, they're awful. For what that's worth, I actually have a battle royal that I'm going to be in coming up. June 1st, they decided to do something crazy, and they went, hey, you know what's better than a one-ring battle royal? A two-ring battle royal. So I'm going to be in a two-ring, 50-man cluster battle royal on June 1st. But yes, Battle Royal suck.
That sounds like fun, though.
That should be a lot of fun. That'll be very different.
Where and when is that, if you don't mind me asking?
That's up at Lance Cruz High School in Harrison Township, and that is on June 1st. It should be a Saturday, I believe, and that'll be a nighttime show. I don't know the exact bell time, but I want to say it's going to be 7 or 8 p.m.
Is that...
The company is called City Championship Wrestling, and they're on the Facebooks and the social medias.
Okay, so we'll get that information out to everybody. Right, you just heard it. And then,
so the Andre the Giant Battle Royals, they're doing not as a part of WrestleMania, but the SmackDown before.
Yeah, let me run through the list of who's in it, and then I'll just get your thoughts on who's going to win it. It's just a bunch of meat bouncing off each other in a ring until there's one person left. So you got Andrade, Ricochet, Chad Gable, Bronson Reed, Shinsuke, Omos, Apollo Crews, JD McBighead, McDonough, Otis, Akira Tozawa, Ivar, Julius Creed, Brutus Creed, Cedric Alexander, Ashante Adonis, Elton Prince, Kit Wilson, Cameron Grimes, Sangha, and Veer. And I'm not familiar with all those names because I assume there's some NXTers in there, and I do not pay attention to the NXT. And I don't watch the product in and out every week. I'm more of a highlight guy. So if some of these are on SmackDown, I probably wouldn't know them, but I know over half. So who do you got winning this one, Mike?
I'm going to go with, you know, looking at the past winners of the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, it doesn't matter. None of them end up really going on to do anything, at least with this victory. So I'm going to go with Ricochet. I love Ricochet. I hope he wins. There's really not too much thought going into this for me. I mean, maybe Otis. Otis is a runner-up. He's a big guy. It'd be hard to toss him over the top rope, but yeah, I put my money on Ricochet. He's deserving.
I'm surprised with how much you talked up Chad Gable that you didn't go that direction. That's where I thought you were going to go.
The thing with Gable is I think he's got other things, and I think they have other plans for him. Maybe it would make sense for him to win this, as it doesn't really put him into anything, I guess, specifically. But you know, I love me some Ricochet. He had, you know, he's had some big moments, especially with Logan Paul over the last couple of years, and I feel like he never got a reward for kind of really helping propel Logan Paul into the superstar that he is now.
I'm torn between two. I'm going Bronson Reed or Andrade. And the only reason I'm going Andrade is he just came back. The dude is so good, but he just makes no connection to the fans whatsoever. Just, there's just nothing, but he's so good. I just feel like they have to give him a push in a spot where it doesn't feel like they're jamming him down your throat. You know, like having him win an Intercontinental title would be jamming him down your throat. I think this is something he could win and the fans wouldn't rebel against it. And it would be a push spot. But I really want Bronson Reed to win. I love watching Bronson Reed. Maybe it's because we have the same body type. I'm not sure. I'm gonna go Andrade.
That's a fair guess. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, previous winners being Baron Corbin, Mojo Rawley, Matt Hardy, Braun Strowman, Madcap Moss. I don't even know who that is. So, I mean, there's a couple bigger winners in there with Cesaro, Big Show, Bobby Lashley, but none of them needed that. I'm kind of glad that they didn't make it a part of WrestleMania. I'm glad that it's before on SmackDown. Because, as you said, Battle Royals suck.
You know, there's only six matches on night two. On night one, you get seven matches. One of them's that six-pack ladder match. It's going to take forever. One is the main event that's going to take a long. They're going to get all the time they want for that. Saturday night.
They're going to get 10 minutes out of the.
Yeah. Saturday night's going to be a long show, but then you get to Sunday, and you're like, singles match, singles match, singles match, triple threat, singles match, and then a six-man tag that probably is going to suck. Anyway, let's start with that one. It's Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits against the Final Testament and the authors of Pain. I know who Carrion Cross is. I don't know. I would know the authors of Pain if I saw them, but I don't have an opinion on how good they are. And then there's, and you know, I know the other teams. Your thoughts on that?
I don't know too much going in. I do know that this is some sort of stipulation along the lines of a street fight. So I think that'll definitely make it a much more watchable match. Most of the time, these six-man matches are pretty jumbled with a lot of stuff that's unnecessary going on and pretty hard to keep track of. But I think it's a street fight. I mean, that's probably the best way to go about it. I do think Bobby Lashley looks incredible, especially for his age, and he's still deserving of a top spot. It's, to me, it's a little bummer that he's in a six-man, but at least he's on the card, unlike some of the other guys that might be deserving. So in this one, I got Bobby Lashley in the Street Profits and probably a shorter match.
Yeah, I think this is one of those matches where they want to give the good guys a win. Sets up the rest of my feelings on the card, I think, somewhat. I don't expect much out of this, but I will tell you this. In our last episode, I came out and said Tiffany Stratton and Zoe Stark are going to be, they're going to be good. They're going to be in WrestleMania matches next year. And I'm telling you, it's time for Montez Ford to go single and to become a breakout star, because I think he is. It's time for the tag team to go away. And I think we're going to see Montez Ford at WrestleMania next year in a singles match. He'll probably be a heel, but I don't think him being a heel, he'll have to start out a heel, and I don't think he'll last very long as a heel. And I think he'll be kind of like a Ricochet, but maybe,
yeah,
maybe a tad better, because he's a better talker than Ricochet.
That's true.
So, so we're both going with the good guys. They haven't done much with Lashley. Just thinking about all the storylines that guy's been in since he came back.
Yeah.
I mean, he has that storyline with Rusev and Lana. It was bad. And then that one time he had no eyebrows. That was bad. And he painted them on. He had like painted on eyebrows. I swear to God. For a little while there, that was, he looked bad. I can't remember a memorable Bobby Lashley moment since he came back, and it's been a few years now. So
he may have had a title run in that.
Did he? I mean, was it memorable? I don't know.
It wasn't memorable, but I think he might have had one.
I know he had some titles. I don't know if he was a heavyweight champion. If he was, he was like a transitional champion.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, too, who's like good in the ring. He's fine, suitable on the microphone, looks great. But I just feel like he's lacking that connection a little bit with a lot of the audience. And if he's the main guy on top, I don't feel like that many people are paying that much attention to it.
I was at WrestleMania when he was representing Donald Trump and Umaga was representing Vince McMahon for a hair versus hair match. And
yeah,
I think it's all been downhill for him since then. I think a Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley match, if done right, would be good. Would help Bobby a lot, actually.
I agree that it would, yeah.
Next match was L.A. Knight against AJ Styles. This is going to be an interesting talk. We've already had this talk, just didn't record it.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one.
Great. Tell us about it.
Are you not?
No, I think it's going to suck.
I think it's going to be great because anything AJ Styles touches is great. LA Knight has the crowd behind him, which will put the crowd into the match. AJ Styles is doing well as a heel. He looks bigger than he's ever looked. And I think that this is going to be one of those matches that maybe you think is just kind of a throwaway, as there's nothing really on the line here. But I think it could be a great match that shows what they're going to do with LA Knight going forward. Because he's got the crowd behind him. He has the opportunity to become a superstar. And, I mean, honestly, it's a little bit strange with how hot LA Knight has been all year for WWE, for him not to be involved in some sort of title match at this WrestleMania.
Yeah. I thought the plan was going to be him winning the U.S. title at WrestleMania. I had heard that's what the plan was. That is not going to happen, as Logan Paul's in a different match. So I would have looked forward more to Logan Paul LA Knight. AJ Styles, yeah, he's the guy that's going to make him look good. He'd have made him look great 10 years ago. I am going to push back a little bit on the fact that you called AJ Styles a heel. I do not believe he is. I believe he's a heel to LA Knight. I believe he's not a heel. He just doesn't like LA Knight. If I remember correctly, how okay. when this feud started, he turned on LA Knight during or at the end of a match, but he did not go after anybody else. And nobody stopped it and kind of thing. And obviously they're doing that to put those two together, but I don't think AJ Styles has done heelish work. I haven't heard his promos though. Maybe you have.
And that's the thing though, too, is I don't think he has to do that much because LA Knight is so over as a babyface. Anybody LA Knight is wrestling against is going to be on the other side.
I think LA Knight was so over as a babyface 6 months ago. I think that fuse is dying. I think the thing that hurt the LA Knight, this is going to be a crazy thing, but I think what hurt LA Knight the most is The Rock came back. Because I view LA Knight as a montage of the Attitude Era guys, one of them being The Rock.
I think a lot of people, yeah.
So when the real thing is there, because there wasn't anybody to compare him to, you know, this generation that's just watching this that didn't see The Rock or Austin, you know, all those guys, is seeing LA Knight, and it's all kind of original to them. And then The Rock comes back and screws all that up for him because he's just a better version of himself than LA Knight is.
I think you might be onto something there too. And I wonder if part of the reason, I mean, if WWE has the chance to bring back The Rock, you do it at any point in time. But I wonder if that's part of the reason that they really pushed to bring The Rock back for this WrestleMania, is that they saw that LA Knight kind of touches on that nostalgia of the Attitude Era. And based on the crowd reactions he was getting, they knew that anything from the Attitude Era, especially The Rock, would hit big right now. And it clearly has. So I'm curious if LA Knight may have led a little bit into the fact that The Rock is such a major part of this WrestleMania. But bringing it back to this match, I see every reason for LA Knight to get the victory over AJ Styles. It's not going to hurt AJ Styles much. As much as I love AJ, he's getting up there in age. I don't really think he has much of a big title picture future in the WWE where I could see LA Knight having that. So I think they're going to get the victory tonight. And like you said, I would love to see him go after the United States Championship or have a match with Logan Paul. And even AJ Styles, if they swapped Logan Paul and LA Knight for this WrestleMania, I wouldn't have been surprised if LA Knight was going in with the US title. Because oddly enough, one of the dream matches of mine with the current WWE roster would be Logan Paul versus AJ Styles.
Yeah. See, it's that kind of thing. It's that kind of match I don't need. Logan Paul has, and we'll talk about him right now. We can transition into the next match, but he's exceeded all expectations. He's a full, he's a wrestler. He's a sports entertainer.
I think he's everything that WWE wanted Rob Gronkowski to be.
Sure. And countless others.
Like they were looking to bring in somebody that had a fan base from elsewhere to get new eyes on the product. That was going to be athletic, do some spots that would get some newsworthy attention even across the board. And Logan Paul has done that, I think, better than they could have ever expected.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I'm going to go ahead and predict that in this triple threat match of Logan Paul, Kevin Owens, and Randy Orton, I think Logan Paul's going to win that and continue. And
I think
they're going to still go with their storyline that LA Knight's going to be the guy who beats him. If LA Knight can keep his momentum, and it's just going to happen at a different pay-per-view, obviously, because they don't wrestle each other. But that's what I think they have in mind if I was guessing.
And personally, I would love that because I don't know if there's a bigger heel right now in the WWE than Logan Paul. The Rock's got, a lot of heat against him and he's doing great being a quote unquote heel, but there's still a lot of people out there that love the Rock. And I just don't think people have that, the same feelings towards Logan Paul. Cause he's still kind of newer. So there's a lot of people going, oh, he hasn't earned it. There's a lot of people that hate him from his YouTube stuff. And he's one of the guys that I think is, truly hated by a lot of fans, where LA Knight is loved by, I'd say, 95% of the WWE universe. And if we could get a U.S. championship match between Logan Paul and LA Knight, regardless of the outcome of that, that would be an extremely entertaining matchup.
Yeah, I don't like Logan Paul, but I'm old. So you'd expect that coming out of me. But he's really good. So,
yes. Extremely talented. He's picked it up extremely quickly as well. I don't see any reason for him to lose the belt to Randy Orton or Kevin Owens. And part of that too is just Logan Paul's appearances. I mean, with his brother boxing and him being at the crowd in his brother's boxing matches, and he's showing up at UFC events, and Logan Paul is just about everywhere. And the fact that he's carrying a WWE title with him, getting the WWE even more eyes on them from Logan Paul's fan base and beyond, just other people that are fans of other combat sports, is huge. And the only reason, in my opinion, for Logan Paul to lose the United States Championship is because he's going to win the WWE or the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yes. We are agreeing way too much, Mike.
Yeah,
whoever wins Saturday is going to win because we're pretty close on this. The next match is a Io Sky versus Bayley match. I have a feeling we're going the same way on this one too, but Io Sky and Bayley were both parts of Damage Control. And back when Io Sky won the title, she was pretty hot. Like, Damage Control wasn't hot. I don't think Damage Control's ever been hot, but Io Sky herself was hot, and I think it was a very good idea for them to have her win the title. However, they haven't done anything with her since. They haven't done anything with her, and now there's been that big Damage Control Bayley feud breakup, long storyline. It wasn't a bad storyline. Io Sky wasn't even like the star of the storyline. She was just like one of the players, and she's the champion. And I think Bayley's better days are behind her.
I think that.
I loved when Bayley turned heel. I thought she needed it. I thought it was the right time for it. I don't think she's nailed it. She's been okay. She's not been terrible. But I don't think she nailed, well, she's not anymore. She's headed back to babyface them. But I would love it if she was still a heel. I would love it if she just babyfaced her way to the championship and then put damage control behind her and was still a heel. Like, was still, there was no turn. And I think she'd be better off. She's one of those, you know, you hear it all the time, Mike, do they need the championship? Does it help them to have a championship? Or I think she needs the championship at this point as something to fall back on. Io Sky, if they're not going to do anything with her, no, she doesn't need it. So they're just spinning their wheels. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think it makes sense for Io Sky to have the championship if they're going to do something with her, but it doesn't really, you know, there's nothing that's really stuck out to me that I've seen. Like, oh, this is going somewhere. You know, I hope that they get a decent amount of time because Io Sky, I think, is very talented. And I think Bayley's decent. And I think they could put together a pretty good match. And it might get showcased pretty well, being the only women's match on the Night 2 card, at least as of right now. So I can see this being a fairly entertaining match. Regardless of the outcome, I don't really care if I'm being honest. But I think they'll probably keep the belt on Io Sky.
Oh, look at that. Curveball.
Mm-hmm.
I do think of Bayley as like a female AJ Styles. And you can put her out there and she's going to...
That's insulting. That's insulting to AJ Styles.
Well, I'm saying she is to the women's division what AJ Styles is currently to the men's division. And that's a veteran who can go in there and make you look like $1 million. And Bayley is going to go in there and make Io Sky look like $1 million. But I just think it fits the storyline better for Bayley to win. If they'd been making Io Sky look good over the last 6 months, I might feel differently about it. But it doesn't look like they've put much effort into that. So I would say that, to me, that tells me where they're headed.
And with that being the case, I kind of look at it along those lines as well, where maybe this is the opportunity for them to start pushing it and doing something with her because of victory over Bayley, who's pretty well known and has been around for a while, kind of now in a veteran role as far as the women's division goes, might propel Io Sky into doing something a little bit more.
If they wanted to propel Io Sky into something more, then she should have been the one that damage control turned on. And the roles should be reversed. And then she could beat Bayley and get a little more credibility. Anyway, we talked about that match the most. No comments. Next match is Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre for the World Heavyweight Championship. We were throwing out some conspiracy theories on night one of how it would affect night two, and this is where it starts coming into play. What do you got going on? I'm going to have you tell me what you have going on Saturday that's going to affect this match and the outcome, if any.
So we talked about it a little bit yesterday where, you know, we threw around the idea of, oh, maybe Seth Rollins gets hurt before the match and doesn't even participate in the tag team match. You know, that might be a far-fetched idea, because if that happens, then that throws everything out of whack, at least as the card sits. But I do think at some point on Saturday night, Seth Rollins is going to take some sort of abuse from the bloodline that's going to negatively impact his ability on Sunday night against Drew McIntyre, which will eventually allow Drew to get the victory over Rollins. I expect this to be a really entertaining match. I love Seth Rollins. I think he's great in pretty much every element that a pro wrestler can be. I think he's a good guy to hold the belt and represent the company, but at the same time, I don't think he needs it. He could come off and do one-off things at any point in time. And, you know, Drew seems kind of due. But at the same time, I'm not the Drew McIntyre guy, which even I don't understand. He looks good. He's a great wrestler. I just can't get behind him. I don't know what it is. There's just something about Drew McIntyre that I'm just, meh, just feels bland.
It's jealousy. I was thinking about how we were talking about Seth Rollins getting beat up before the match and having a fill-in partner on Saturday night. And I thought about that, and I've come to this conclusion. They're not going to do that. It made sense to me when we talked about it yesterday, and today it makes no sense to me because they don't do that kind of stuff at WrestleMania. They don't do shenanigans.
They normally don't, but it's a different time in the era. It's a new era, new people in charge. I could see some silly stuff happening that we're not used to.
Seth Rollins is a big star. He's a fan favorite. They love to yell his theme song, which, by the way, you won't see in part two of the bracket challenge for me anyway. But it is a fun theme song for the fans to be involved in. If he's getting hurt, and I think he's getting hurt. I think they're going to give him an injury so he has an out when he loses to McIntyre on night two. But I think it's after the match starts so they can get all the pomp and circumstance out of the way, or he can have the fans can have their little moment with him and blah, 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 blah. I don't think there's going to be a fill-in partner. But there will be shenanigans. So I'm going Drew McIntyre. I'm going Seth Rollins taking a beating for 15 minutes and still trying to come back with an injury, probably his back because that's real, or his knee, which was just real. And then McIntyre winning.
I see McIntyre walking away with the belt here. I think with all the hype around these two matches and the fact that Saturday night's main event leads into Sunday's main event, or main events, I guess, depending, or the title matches, I think one of the belts has to change hands, and I think it's going to be this one. But I don't think that's going to put Seth Rollins out of the picture. I think it's going to keep him involved in the championship picture because he, like you said, will probably take some sort of beating and be, not at 100% going into that. Because there's a little bit of storyline there with Seth Rollins and CM Punk, as well as Drew McIntyre and CM Punk. And I can see this turning into a three-way match at an upcoming pay-per-view of sorts.
Yep, a three-way match for when CM Punk comes back helps Punk, as he probably will need that kind of a match when he comes back, because I don't think he's in any kind of ring shape, to tell you the truth. He wasn't in great shape in AEW. Then he came over here. He didn't have much action. I know he's, he works out and everything, but ring shape's different than workout shape. And I think he would need, it's obvious where they're going with this whole CM Punk McIntyre Rollins thing. I think a triple threat is definitely needed. And, they might work on that all the way up until WrestleMania.
Yeah, I could see that, where like Rollins takes so bad of a beating this weekend that he's out of the picture. You got a couple months of Drew versus CM Punk. Rollins comes back in the picture. Maybe you get some Rollins, CM Punk, and it eventually ends up in a triple threat match. They could definitely milk it, run that out for a while.
Yeah, you can give Seth 3 months off. You got to give CM Punk 2 or 3 more months to recover. So you could just have Drew beat people up for 2 or 3 months and then have them both come back around the same time and start building that storyline, and different incarnations at certain pay-per-views leading up to a big triple threat at WrestleMania. I could see that. If that happens, CM Punk's going to win that match. So you can pretty much put in CM Punk winning at WrestleMania next year, no matter what match it is.
And he's never had the main event, and I know that's probably the whole reason he's back, and it's somehow guaranteed into his contract that he's going to be a main event at WrestleMania, and I hope he gets hurt again.
He will. Will it be enough?
I mean, didn't he just get hurt in the Royal Rumble?
Yeah.
Battle Royal.
Yeah,
he found a way to get sidelined.
He got DDT'd. It was the DDT that did it.
Blew his, what, tricep or elbow or something?
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then the only thing left to talk about is Cody Rhodes going to finish the story, Mike. It's a complicated storyline. It's been a long storyline. The Bloodline is the best storyline I've ever seen. And I'm old enough to have lived through the NWO thing, so I have something to compare it to. Much better than Ronnie Garvin getting hurt against Jake the Snake Roberts. no one could tell me a storyline that's better than this. The length, how hot this storyline has gotten in different incarnations is crazy to me.
Yeah. It's insane. I think, you know, a lot of people rip on Roman Reigns for how frequently, or how infrequently he defends his title. But because of that, every time he's out there, it makes it something to see. It's, you know, it's become a rare occurrence for him to be in a match defending his title, or sometimes even on a show, even showing up on SmackDown. So it works great because he gets heat for not being there and being what a lot of guys would call a part-timer. But it keeps him a strong heel. And, you know, Cody Rhodes has been extremely over ever since he returned to the WWE from AEW. And, you know, this story's been going on for a long time. And I can't think of a moment, you know, I haven't been watching every SmackDown and Raw, but I can't think of a moment where I went, this is just dragging on. It's always been exciting. There seems to be always a new chapter happening in this story. And what do you think, Bear Roller? Is Cody Rhodes going to finish his story this Sunday night?
No. And I'm not saying he's not going to finish the story. I don't think he's finishing it at WrestleMania. I think they have more to tell. I'm afraid, and I think they might be too, that once Roman gives up the title, the Bloodline storyline could be dead. Now, they probably aren't going to kill it. They're probably going to go forward. They probably have a plan. Well, when Roman loses it, this is where we're going, and this is what we're going to do, and we're going to keep the Bloodline going and blah, blah, blah. But I'm concerned that all the plans in the world aren't going to matter. I think it's the same as when everybody came back on the Avengers and beat Thanos, and they had their last movie, and Tony Stark snapped his fingers and died in the process, and so did the Marvel movie industry, because nothing has been good ever since Tony Stark lost the title. And I think that's
Spider-Man 3.
What's that?
Tom Holland Spider-Man was good, but after that, yes, I agree.
And I have I'm scared, because I love the storyline so much. I'm scared if Roman loses, the luster's off, and I don't want that. And
yeah,
although I like Cody Rhodes, I'm not ready. Nope. No, I don't want it. I know the crybabies want it, and I'm not a Cody crybaby. I'm putting down Roman.
Gotcha. Yeah, you know, when I look at this match, and, you know, Cody Rhodes has won the Royal Rumble 2 years in a row, and taking on the same opponent 2 years in a row, and it's WrestleMania 40, and, you know, they're always going to be trying to capture probably that moment when Benoit and Eddie Guerrero won their titles on the same night, and, you know, that kind of WrestleMania moment, with it being a big WrestleMania 40, a significant year, kind of an anniversary year, all the signs, I think, point to Cody Rhodes winning, and I don't think he's going to. And a lot of that is solely based on the fact that 2-ish months ago, 3-ish months ago, when The Rock came back is the second The Rock came back, they had no plans of putting Cody Rhodes, I think, in that championship match.
Oh, right. They definitely wanted The Rock and Roman. But if it was The Rock and Roman, exactly. let's just say the turn never happens and Rock's the babyface and Roman's the bloodline, who do you think wins that match? The Rock or
The Rock versus Roman?
Yeah.
Roman Reigns.
Me too. I don't think The Rock was going to win that.
Yeah. Maybe it'd be different if the title was not on the line, but if they had the title on the line, which at WrestleMania, I think you have to. Roman Reigns is walking away with that belt against The Rock, hands down. That's nothing more than The Rock coming in to give his cousin a little bit of a rub and boosting Roman Reigns even further into stardom. But as soon as The Rock came back and they were kind of setting up Rock and Roman, I don't think they ever came out and said that's what they're going to do, but I think everybody knew it. As soon as that happened, I just felt that Cody Rhodes wasn't going to be walking away with that belt. Now, if he was going up against Seth Rollins, could I see him walking away with that championship right now? Absolutely. But I really think this is one of the first times that I can recall where, you know, the fans had such an outburst online. They did so much whining and so much crying.
Daniel
changed the booking of the WWE.
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan, when Batista came back. Batista came back as a babyface, and the fans said, no, that's not your spot. That's Daniel Bryan's spot. So they had to turn Batista heel, and then they had they had to get Daniel Bryan into the championship match in WrestleMania, and it was the fans that did that.
Yeah. And this has been one of the few other times where it's been the case, and because of that, like you said as well, I think if Roman Reigns loses the belt, it kind of hurts the bloodline storyline, or it definitely could potentially hurt it. And I don't think the WWE is willing to risk that with the height they have reached right now. I think Cody Rhodes is really good. He'd be a good champion as he, you know, wrestles regularly. He shows up regularly. He's pretty well known, not only amongst, you know, WWE fans, but wrestling fans of all kinds, as well as the general public. People, you know, you throw that name around and people have heard of him. But I just don't think it's time. What I'd really love to see, if I'm going off on a crazy speculation, is Roman Reigns winning this year. And next year at the Royal Rumble, Cody Rhodes enters at number one, makes it all the way down. And he's the last person in the ring with 29 entrants already eliminated, or 28 other entrants eliminated. One guy left to come out. He's the only guy in the ring. And then we see the return of Vince McMahon.
Oh, God, you had me up until then. You know, one of the other factors at play here for me is the fact that Roman Reigns is so close to the Hulk Hogan record of days as champion.
Yes.
And it's really hard to get somebody this far along as champion. And that might be something they're looking at too. Like
in my opinion, it should be. Roman Reigns, I think, has been great for the WWE. He's been a good champion. And that's part of the thing too. So, you know, you're looking at the record and you said, that's Hulk Hogan, right? As far as the, WWE universe or WWE title goes. And, you know, is iconic as Hulk Hogan is, you know, he's had some actions throughout the years that have maybe left a little bit of a stain on the WWE. And if you're looking at it from a kind of PR perspective, from everything that we know now, Roman Reigns hasn't, and he's been, you know, pretty clean cut outside of the ring and hasn't really had any issues or newsworthy, you know, headlines that have made the WWE look bad. And, you know, records are there to be broken. And if we were starting at day zero, I don't know if I'd say Roman Reigns is that guy, but with how far along they are, there's no reason to not let him take that from Hulk Hogan.
And, of course, there's lots of rumors about Roman Reigns is getting close to retirement, which is probably true. And he's going to go into the acting as close to full time as possible. And that's going to happen eventually here after he loses. So, yeah. Do you remember the three faces? I got it right here in front of me. The three people you said were going to run in or possibly tag with Cody Rhodes on night one if there was shenanigans? Do you remember the three people you said might get involved in that?
No, I remember Stone Cold, John Cena. Who's the third one I said?
Jey Uso.
Jey Uso, yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. I had Dustin Rhodes, MJF, and Stone Cold. All right, Mike, that's going to do it for our WrestleMania preview. We've covered all the matches. You're going to be at the theater. Everybody can slide into Mike's DMs and see if he's got any room left in his theater. In the, where is it at?
We're going to be at MGR Westland on Wayne Road.
And he'll get you in. That's first night only.
Yep, just Saturday night.
And I'm going to be in the comfortable confines of my living room. Hannah's coming over, my daughter, and we always make, so what we do for our WrestleMania party every year is we make food from the location of the event. So this year,
that was fun.
Amy's making the big pretzels and Amelia's making cookies with Philadelphia cream cheese frosting, and I'm making beefy.
Yeah, you gotta have cheese steaks in there.
And so that'll be a good time. Mike, before you go, would you like some trivia?
We can give it a go.
Let's go with the Hardy Boys won the Raw Tag Team titles in a ladder match during their return at WrestleMania 33. Who was the champion in that match?
I have no clue. But they probably shouldn't have lost the belts to the Hardy Brothers at WrestleMania 33.
It was a four-team challenge, right? Like, there was three teams, and remember, the New Day were the hosts of WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
So the New Day came out and said, we're adding a team to this match. And for a second, they were acting like it was going to be them. And then, but then the Hardys came out. The answer is Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, they shouldn't have lost the belt to the Hardys.
This is old. You're not going to get this. Which superstar said the following? Woodstock was to rock and roll what WrestleMania is to wrestling. I'm going to give you multiple choice. Bobby Heenan, Jesse Ventura, Gorilla Monsoon, or Mr. McMahon?
I'll go with Bobby Heenan.
Oh, it's Jesse Ventura.
This is going to make me look bad.
Spirit just scored a goal. Zane Perec. How do you pronounce his name?
Perec. Yep. Zane Perec.
Yep. That's the first goal of the game. Oh, they got all kinds of trivia here. Which man is the only superstar to cash in his Money in the Bank contract at WrestleMania?
There's only been one?
Only been one at WrestleMania.
That's mind-blowing to me. And I can't think of who it is.
Oh, you don't remember? It's the biggest, obviously, because it's WrestleMania, it's the biggest contract turn-in of all time.
Ooh.
The main event of that evening was, as soon as I say one name, you're going to know exactly where it's going.
It's Seth, no? Seth Rollins?
Yeah. Yeah, it was Roman Reigns against Brock Lesnar. And then during the match, when they were both hurt, he came in, turned in his thing, and it turned into a triple threat. I mean, he didn't just win right away.
Yeah.
So, oh, my God. I remember watching that, and I was so geeked. I was like, oh, my God, this is the coolest thing. Because Roman just got beat from pillar to post in that match. He just did nothing but get beat. It was crazy the abuse that he was taking.
Which, again, kind of highlights back to, well, maybe the Brock Lesnar will get involved in that tag team match sorts with the Bloodline, because well, Brock's got history with The Rock, and Brock has history with Roman Reigns, and Brock has history with Cody Rhodes.
Wow, some of these questions are really bad. Do you remember who The Rock beat in 6 seconds at WrestleMania 32?
WrestleMania 32?
Yeah. He showed up. He came in the ring. Everyone thought he was just going to go through a shtick. And then this faction showed up. And he said he was ready to whoop somebody's ass, and he tore off his sweatpants there, and he had his ring gear on. And
it wasn't Bray Wyatt, but it was with that faction. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. His name was Eric. Okay. Eric Rowan.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think, was that The Rock's last match?
Yeah, that's after the scene of WrestleMania's, right?
I believe so.
So that could be. I think you're right on that. I don't remember him being involved in anything physical.
I remember hearing sometime this year they were saying, well, it's The Rock's match, first match in 8 years. And yeah, it said his most recent match was at WrestleMania 32, which would have been a 6 second match.
Yeah, it was. Ding, ding, rock bottom, pin.
It's impressive.
Here's some women's WrestleMania 18 trivia, Mike.
Oh, boy. This is not going to be good.
This superstar defeated both Lita and Trish in a triple threat match in WrestleMania 18. Here's your choices. Tori Wilson, Jazz, Ivory, or Chyna?
You said WrestleMania 18?
Yeah.
I'll go with Tori Wilson.
Oh, I'm sorry. The answer is Jazz. You think Tori Wilson could beat Lita and Trish Stratus? My first thought would have been Chyna.
I was thinking about the time frame.
But Chyna didn't care about beating women. So that would have took that out. Jazz was pretty good for the time period.
Yeah, especially for the time period, yeah. WrestleMania 18 would have been, what, around 2003, somewhere in there?
This superstar was the last to win a Money in the Bank ladder match at WrestleMania.
Oh, that was before they had the Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
Yeah, here's your four choices. Rob Van Dam, Kane, Jack Swagger, The Miz.
Was it The Miz?
It was not. It was Jack Swagger. Everybody remembers that, right?
I almost said Swagger until you threw The Miz in there.
I don't remember Jack Swagger winning a Money in the Bank. I don't remember. I always thought
Jack, they pushed a little bit.
I thought he was good.
They tried to make a Kurt Angle 2.0.
Yeah.
That's really what the problem was. They were trying to replicate something rather than create something original, and it just didn't work.
I had some expectations for Jack Swagger, because I liked his ring work, but
then
the microphone turned on. Ugh. You see, that's something you can't get away with in nowadays. Like when I was a kid, if you were believable in the ring, it didn't matter how good you were on the mic. You just had to be believable.
Right.
Like, since, you know, Ronnie Garvin, but also one of the worst people on the microphone ever was Bobby Eaton, tag team in the Midnight Express. He was awful. It was like, why are you talking? Just stop. And, but he was a big star because it was real, you know, stuff like that. Like Ric Flair, you know how real he made everything. So he was awesome on the mic, but when you got involved in stuff like that and you didn't hold up your end on the microphone with Ric Flair, he was good enough to make up for it. But you would never get away with that now.
Yeah, very true. I mean, I think back to the promo with John Cena and The Rock, when John Cena spoke out about The Rock having his notes written on his palm there.
And when John Cena called out Roman Reigns for forgetting his lines in the middle of their promo.
Yep. Call the promo. Gotta learn how to cut one of these.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy how John Cena got to a place where he comes back now and loses all the time and the fans don't care and they all cheer for him now?
Yeah, it's incredible.
There's no 50-50 as long as he doesn't win, I guess.
Yeah. I got tired of seeing him win, and now he doesn't do that anymore. So. Yeah,
they don't have to worry about that. Father Time is winning that battle. All right.
And that's really interesting, too, though, with the John Cena thing, because when John Cena was the champion, he was showing up every week and people hated him as a babyface. Uh-huh. And then you got Roman Reigns, who's not showing up and people hate him, you know?
Right.
You just can't please these people. You just can't please the WWE fans.
It's the human race, Mike. You can't please the human race. That's where it really lies, but we're not going to talk about that. All right. Thanks, Mike, for this WrestleMania preview. Looks like we're going to have a little contest here, and our Sunday isn't going to be too exciting. But once again, I want to remind everybody the way we're doing our contest, and if you want to do it too, to see how many points you accumulate, it's very simple. You pick your winners on ahead of time, and then depending on where they are on the card, that's their points. So match number one of the night, you get 1 point if you pick the winner. Match number two of the night, if you pick the winner, you get 2 points. And on and on and on. So on Saturday night, when you get to the big tag team event, that match is going to be worth 7 points. And then it goes 1 through 6 on Sunday. And then, give yourself a point if you pick the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal on SmackDown, right, too. What the hell? We're just throwing points around. We don't care. So we'll see how everybody does. And happy WrestleMania season. And don't forget to tune in to our part two of the wrestling all-time themes that Mike and I are in the middle of. And, of course, our very famous, worldwide known vintage baseball talks. Good night, everybody.